have your attention, please. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Jujuleba, Barzilai Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonia Shalaba, Odea Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of your Shalaba now entering the sanctuary. I have a privilege and honor to present to you Sonny Shalaba, Shamil Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated, may the peace of God be with each and every one. Today, the title of my speech today is Being Made in the Image of Yahweh starts with keeping the Sabbath the way Yahweh keeps the Sabbath. Please turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, Then Yahweh said, I will make man in my image, according to my likeness. They will have rulership over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the creeping things that creep upon the earth. Yahweh's plan is to make man in his image, and to give us authority, to make his teachers of righteousness that will bring peace to the nations. Yahweh has given us a day to come before him to train for this position. Please turn to Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. It says, Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh, your heavenly Father. And shall do no work, nor your wife, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor the cattle, nor the stranger who dwells within your gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day, and hallowed it. Yahweh made the Sabbath day holy. Verse 11 shows us that Yahweh set the example for mankind in the very beginning. He worked 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested from his work and blessed mankind by serving him and teaching him how to live forever. Yahshua followed this example, and we should follow the same example, keeping the Sabbath the way Yahweh kept it, by being a blessing to one another on the Sabbath, serving one another, and coming to services at the place Yahweh has chosen, which is at Abel, to learn how to become teachers of righteousness. I would like to read a quote from the 7th Book of Israel, Part 1, Chapter 17, Verse 47. It says, The Sabbath rest, as Yahshua taught it, is the same rest with which Yahweh rested. It's a character. And it's just when you see this, it says, This is the rest, but with you, we'll call it the wearing to rest. It's a character that has developed in you and which you're going to be teaching throughout all eternity. Yahweh asks today for 1 day per week, plus to curse the feast days, him to develop in your mind and in your heart, the Spirit of Yahweh. The Spirit of Yahweh is caring its mercy and caring for others. Of course, this is what he wants in you. Now, I would like to turn to Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. It says, Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, Surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for they are a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you and makes you holy. The word sign in this verse means mark. When we keep the Sabbath, this shows we belong to Yahweh. And the word sanctify means to be set apart for holy use. We will be used as teachers of righteousness, and we will bring peace to the nations. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. It says, it will come to pass that in the last days that the mountain of promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the ship of the nations and will be raised above all congregations, and all nations will eventually flow to it. And many people will go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the Father of Jacob, and he will teach of his ways, and will walk in his paths. For the Lord will depart from Zion, and the word of Yahweh will depart from Jerusalem. He will judge among the nations, and will rebuke many people. They will beat their swords into plasters, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn war anymore. The nations will learn war no more, because we will teach them the peaceful solution. Yes, Yahweh is training us for a position through his last days witness to J. Hawkins every Sabbath day. Please turn to Isaiah 58, verse 13. It's page 566. If you turn away your foot from breaking the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure, and from doing your pleasure, your own businesses, your own pleasure, on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of Yahweh, honorable, and will honor him by not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor engaging in idle conversation, then you will find your joy in Yahweh, and I will cause you to ride on the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. So let us remember, being man, the image of Yahweh starts with keeping the Sabbath the way Yahweh keeps the Sabbath.
For our speaker this morning, the great Deacon Yeshurun Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. My title is, you are part of the work, even though you are the lowest slave or highest in Yahweh's house. In the sixth book of Israel, chapter 35, verse 171, and it says, and what a blessing it is for us to be a part of Yahweh's work, everything hinging. Praise Yahweh. And what a blessing it is just to be able to help out. You know, I would be more joyous to just shine the bottom of a pastor's shoes, just the bottoms now, so nobody could see this. But we know it got done. That's the position I seek. You are part of the work, whether you are the lowest slave or highest, or whether you are the ranked high as the president in any work you do. Yahshua set this example for us. He showed that we should want to do Yahweh's work no matter what the job. Even though Yahshua was a prophet and teacher, he took the lowest job on earth. Yahshua washed feet and as the lowest slave, and he loved it. If you could turn over to Yochanan 13, verse 4 through 8. And it says, He got up from supper and laid aside his tallit. Then he took a towel and tied it around himself. After that, he had poured the water into a basin and then began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that he had tied around himself. He then came to Simon Kepha, but Kepha said to him, "Teacher, do you wash my feet?" Yeshua answered and said to him, "What I do you will not now understand, but you will understand afterwards." Kepha did not understand, so why did Yeshua want him to understand? Well, if you could turn over to Luke 22, verse 24 through 30, on page 809, and it says, "Now there also developed a controversy among them about which one of them should be accounted the accountant the greatest. So he said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles exercise rulership over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called beneficiaries. But this must not be so among you, for he who is the greatest among you, let him be as the youngest, and he who is the first, like the one who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table, or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? But I am among you as he who serves. Now you are those who have stood by me in my trial, so I appoint a kingdom to you, just as my Father has appointed to me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging 12 tribes. Yeshua is King of kings and ruler of rulers because he loves being a servant, not to be served, but to serve others. He is waiting to serve us at the table. He is preparing for us in Yahweh Shema. Don't let anything stop you from doing any of Yahweh's work. No kinfolks, no worldly entertainment, not even sickness. Having a willing attitude towards Yahweh's work and being a servant to Yahweh's family in everything you put your hands to do. If you are a part of Yahweh's work, you are a part of Yahweh's kingdom. And if you are, please stand. I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated, and may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My title today is 430 Endurance, He Who Endures Till the End Will Be Saved. Now, Greek 430 means to endure, suffer persecution, endure hardship. As you may remember, here are some of the events that surrounded the number 430. The FS sin picture was taken on January 4th, 2016, at 4:30 in the afternoon. I don't know if you can see it. Can you see? It says the time here, 4:30. Can you see that? Now, Route 66 was assigned the number 66 on April 30th, 1926. That was 90 years ago. It was assigned on 4:30, 1926. It says right here, the numerical designation 66 was assigned to the Chicago to Los Angeles route on April 30th, or 4:30, 1926. Now at the bottom here, it says, both Avery and Page also appreciated the number 66's use in numerology as both a master number bringing forth material pleasure and success. That's their money, their entertainment. And the Church of Satan was founded on 4/30/1966 in San Francisco, of all places. You see here, San Francisco, California. Remember, this is their satanic year of mercy. Year of mercy. They don't even know what mercy is. The Pope says, well, we need mercy, and he kills a bunch of people. We still need mercy. This is the peak of sin, the way of man, coming to an end. It's their end. Number 66 is the number of man. And it's coming to an end. Praise God. They're at the end of the road. And there's nowhere else. But if we endure, we will be saved. Turn to Matthew 24. Yeshua told us in Matthew 24. And verse 13, he says, but he who endures until the end, the same will be saved. And if we endure to the end, we will be saved. The endure in Gematria is 334. In English, it equals 402. And in simple, 67. Now, in Hebrew 334, it means shut up, impeded. In Greek 334, it means an offering or a given thing or object. To give or gift. In Hebrew 402, which is English, Gematria for endure, it means to devour, consume food. And in Greek, it means to retire, withdraw, pull out, turn left. In Hebrew 67, which in Hebrew 67, in 67 is simple gematria for endure. It means a medal of Israel. In Greek, it means, in Greek, 67 is a horse tamer. Now remember, they're coming to an end. In conclusion, in the 8th book of Yisrael, part 1, Chapter 24, verse 135, it says, the dust of the earth is actually alive, and the firmament is alive, and it does what Yahweh tells it to do. It's doing what Yahweh tells it to do, what he set it in order to do, and it's enjoying its job. Every worm, every microorganism enjoys life. You will have that power very soon now if you endure till the end. That's the only way we're going to have that power, is if we endure till the end. May I bless your understanding? If y'all please stand. I'd like to turn the services over to the great Kahan Ilya Hyler Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Of course, we really don't want to depress you after being out of the world for a whole week and not seeing the misery, but it's important that we see what's going on in this world, see what this other system offers, so that we will see it and never turn to sin again. And we'll understand why we should not do the things that Yahweh says you must not do, so that we can have peace, so that we can have life. And we're going to start off, of course, with the United States. They've acknowledged now that the governmental systems can have these drone attacks where they can kill citizens no matter where you're at globally, all around the world. But they're specifically talking about someone sitting in a cafe, if it's legal to assassinate an American citizen who may have something they're accused of doing. Would that be legal? And watch the Attorney General, of course, and there's a lot of politics being played in this question with someone who's running for president. Senator Ted Cruz is questioning the Attorney General, but watch how they'll do anything but say yes or no. It kind of reminds you of the political correctness we showed at the college last time we showed the news, where they cannot answer a simple question, even if it's in front of them. And then we go to Saudi Arabia. There's been recent talks about the Saudi Arabia and Yemen conflict that is taking place, and of course they're having peace talks in Kuwait. Now, everybody is agreeing to this except the country of Saudi Arabia. And it's important to watch Saudi Arabia. Remember, they are now the second leading oil-producing nation, Russia being the first. They surpassed Saudi Arabia last year. But watch what they're doing, because they're also one of the countries that has not signed the climate agreement coming from Paris, endorsed by Pope Francis. They're not agreeing to it because that's where a lot of their money comes from to fund their economy. And it's interesting, listen to the comment on how this production of oil is actually hurting the economy of Saudi Arabia. The more they pump, the less they make. But they also put everyone else to where they can't pump oil because they do it cheaper than anyone else. So the more they pump, the more they take other countries offline. But they're hurting themselves in what they're doing. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And, of course, Iran saying again this week, after they offered Assad, who is the president of Syria, they offered him refuge if he wanted to come to Iran. And, of course, he turned it down. But they're saying that they're going to back Syria and Assad. And, of course, the United States is wanting Assad out. And this ceasefire, of course, they call it a ceasefire as they shoot at each other every day. And they call that a minor breach. But, of course, they're still at war. There's no stoppage of this war. And then we look at Dennis Hastert. Now, this is the longest-serving Speaker of the House that we've had in the United States. And watch very carefully and use a mind of wisdom. Remember, Sandusky was not guilty? Remember that prophetic word that went out? Well, watch Dennis Hastert, who he actually just admitted this week to when he was a high school wrestling coach. He actually molested the boys that were there. And he admits to it. He says what he did. And they come down on him, they're condemning him, they're running him in the ground, but he was only part of the system that created him. Keep that in mind. He only became what he was trained to be. And watch the article that follows up, because as they condemn this man for his homosexuality, there's the next man that comes up who is a former senator. His name is Harrison Wilford, and he's 90 years old. And he says that his wife died when she was 70, her name was Claire, and he never thought he would find love again. But he is now to marry a 40-year-old young man. Now, while they condemn one man, they praise another. They're actually endorsing this, saying how great it is that he's found love. But it's the same sin. It's the same thing. But it makes them feel better about themselves. And then there's a woman in New Jersey who recently gave birth to a child, 15 years old. She gave birth to a child. She took it, immediately took it down to this, just kind of like a county road, country road. Poured gasoline on it, set it on fire. Now, the baby was taken to the hospital after this was made known, and of course, in the hospital, the baby dies, and now they've sentenced her to 30 years of prison. Now, that sounds bad, right? To kill the baby, burn the baby? But why doesn't it sound bad to abort the baby? If she would just have aborted the baby, they use suction, rip the baby to shreds, tear it apart from in the womb, that's fine. But if you kill it once it's outside the womb, you're going to prison. Think about how confusing that is in the mind of society and what Yahweh's trying to bring and why we must not do this. And then scientists are saying now that behavioral training has proved to be more effective than drugs. And they're talking about attention deficit disorder, and they're saying that this training, you could call it the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, this training is proven to be more effective than drugs. And that's key. Yes, absolutely. That's key due to, remember, we're saying to our children and our society, get off drugs, painkillers are killing people, heroin's killing people. And at the same time, we're putting the youngest of children on drugs, saying you need these drugs to act right. And then we wonder why they become drug addicts. And then India, we've talked about the droughts. Yeshua warned about the droughts that would take place in the famines. India, which is the second most populous country on the face of the earth, is now facing droughts. And they're saying that their reservoirs will not refill from the monsoons. They're too far gone to do those. And then President Obama. And this goes to show how much President Obama is actually in control. I'm sure he's trying to make the best decisions he possibly can. As he repeatedly say, no boots on the ground. He said that many times throughout the last 2 years, no boots on the ground. No more boots on the ground. We will not send boots on the ground. Just to send boots on the ground. But once again, when they talk to John Kirby, who's the spokesman of the State Department, watch once again how they blatantly just lie and cannot acknowledge the truth. They have to continue this lie. And then it goes to Pope Francis, and look very carefully. He's going to be speaking in his native tongue there, but it's translated on the bottom of the screen. And read the bottom of the screen, because he calls for a political solution to this problem. That means he's going to be working through politicians. And he says that we should all pray to Mother Mary for the answer. And that's his solution, of course, is to turn everyone to Mother Mary. And then, keep in mind, this last few weeks we've had arguments about, can this man go to this woman's bathroom or can this woman go to this man's bathroom? And, of course, they can't figure it out for some reason. While all this is taking place, we're having a huge plutonium leak in Washington State. Now, this plutonium leak is actually the waste that was created by the Manhattan Project back in the early 1930s and 1940s. 53 million gallons of capacity this holds, enough to create 60,000 nuclear weapons, and it's leaking and has been leaking for a period of time, but no one is doing anything about it. So that's very important, because remember this climate deal, how we need to stop these, you know, this destruction of our climate. And then we're going to look at fracking. There was a great speech brought during the one-day event about fracking and what takes place. And it starts out with showing everyone, so everyone can have an idea about what fracking is, this fracturing of the shell of the earth for oil or natural gas. But I want you to pay close attention, because watch the destruction that takes place when this is done. This lust for money, this greed for money, and watch how they literally are declaring war on the earth. They literally drill down into the earth. They inject water with a chemical and sand. But the chemical, literally, its job is to go down and kill the microbes. It kills the bacteria. And this water becomes so toxic, there's nothing they can do with it. They can't cleanse it. And remember, they're cleansing toilet water and telling you to drink it. But they're saying they can't even cleanse this water. And this water is going into the ground, and once they finish this drilling and they get all the gas out, they put the water back in the ground and seal it. And they're sealing it shut, this toxic water. And this is to date, they have put 2 trillion 100 billion gallons of toxic water back in the ground just in the United States. That's how much water they put back into the ground. But also watch very carefully as they show a lady in Pennsylvania, also Australia. Watch how they turn their faucets on and they set their water on fire due to the methane gas that is now in the aquifers and coming through the well water. They actually set the water on fire. That shows how mixed up and confused this world has actually become. If we could go ahead and play the news. At this time, if everyone would please stand, I'd like to introduce Yahweh's seventh Malach, the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone! Wow! Wow, what a group! Way! Hey, Yahweh! all yours, Yahweh. You may be seated. What a wonderful, wonderful group of people. A wonderful feast. I love you too. A wonderful feast. Best I've ever seen. Yes. Unity and workers. I never saw so many people joyous about work. Makes me think of when I was in college, and I was so pleased because they gave me the job of cleaning toilets and kitchens. Boy, wonderful. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You really need to pay attention to this. You really need this for your children. If I can get it in the picture. They're asking for help on the cost. But this is lessons on growth. Lessons to grow. This course is simple for young men's side, and the other one is simple for the young women's side, I do believe. No, this is the teacher's manual. This is the teacher's manual, and the other one is the student's manual. And Yahweh willing, I've been praying to get this out to everyone. This is just the beginning of it, so get your name on the list. It will help you and your children. Speaking of children, this afternoon at 4 to 5, I do believe, we have a very special service. There will be a very special second service today for both men and women in the sanctuary at 4 p.m. Come and see Yael 2 unfold before your very eyes and stand in awe of great Father Yahweh. Again, a special service. Now, these children, they want the fathers there, they want their mothers there, the sisters, brothers, cousins, all. Praise Yahweh. They're going to teach, and they're very anxious to do so. The Yisrael Hawkins says the use of E, C, and AD to label number years is incorrect and offers truth. This is going up as something like 2 billion already. Grab this, and it's going by about 1.15 seconds, every 1.15 seconds. How long will that take to reach 2 billion? this is really great. I don't know if you've seen the Book of Yahweh yet, the new one, but get your name on the list. We'll send it to you, or you can pick it up. Pentecost, it has the BY and AY, the correct way for labeling. Praise Yahweh. The number of years before and after Yahshua. Not the false names that they put in the Bible. Taking the names out. They admit they took the name out and admit to placing the false names in the Bible. It's time we start redoing some of these things. Congress is wanting to back up a step or two. Congress votes to designate the bison as national mammal. Praise Yahweh. They want to elevate the bison to a stature approaching that of the eagle. Yeah, eagle. That's what we're doing. We're picking them up on eagle's wings. Teaching them to fly. The Pope is asking for trying to get enough votes to say that war is just. You know, the Supreme Court said sodomy is just, you know. Yahweh said, Isaiah said, there's no justice in the world today. It's all falsehood. It's all fairy tales. It's all for money. And of course, if you listen to the ones that's running for president, you'll see them using these very words and accusing their opponents, of course. But the Pope is wanting, for more than 1,500 years, the Catholic Church has promoted just war, like it's justice to have war theory as a way to determine in what cases war can be considered. And the Pope's own quoting from the popes that are dead in their crusades, they said, stop fighting each other and join us in this war, this just war. We'll kill them. We'll take all their wealth. We'll take them into slaves. You can have your own slaves. We'll take their wealth and divide it among us, and we'll have plenty of money, plenty of land to last us the rest of our lives. And when this life is over, it's over. They don't know that yet. They're claiming it's not. The wars in and around the great river Euphrates that we've shown on the news here, I hope you're watching this. I hope you're getting this, because Yahweh showed that this is exactly where these wars was going to start. He tells you where they would start, when they would start, and of course they're going. And people are being killed. This Aleppo left in ruins. A Syrian ceasefire crumbles, and it shows that they bombed hospitals. One man is digging through the rubble with bare hands there, trying to find his family. He did find his family, all of them dead, of course. Doctors dead also. They're protecting these people. There's no love in the world, no justice in the world. There's what's left of the hospital that they bombed. And I can tell you right now that President Obama wanted to stop this war. He didn't want the war to continue. He is wanting a peaceful solution. And, of course, it's out of his hands. There's no way that even a president can stop what is going on, brought forth by the Vatican. Vatican, in case you don't know it, means the divining serpent. The divining serpent. That's the meaning of the word Vatican. Pope carries the 666, the number 666 that Yahweh warns about in the book of Revelation, and gives you the number of the name. We're the only ones in the world today. The house of Yahweh is the only religion in the world today that's standing up for truth, complete truth. Israel Hawkins explains the history of the Bible and why knowing this information matters. Those headline impressions are up to 250,836. Israel Hawkins says he's taking on evil full force in new tell-all publication. That's up to 258,541. Israel Hawkins says a gathering will take place. It's taking place right now. You're part of it. That will exceed Moses. I use the word Moses a purpose because the world knows by that name, but explained his name later in the article. And the Exodus in new article, that's up to 426,371. Everything is climbing. We're at the top of Google again, as you can see. And I have about 30 pages there, all positive. The world, on the other hand, the opioids are a class of drugs that include an illicit drug heroin, the illicit drug heroin. Why is America the wealthiest nation on earth, and they got people by the millions killing themselves with drugs? Why? Surely anyone could see there's something wrong here. The Savior, of course, talked about this in Matthew 24. If you want to turn there, Matthew, the 24th chapter, in this generation, we're in this generation, the generation of the nuclear bomb. Surely anyone with half a brain could even figure that out. You know, the bomb was invented starting in 1934, when Yahweh let the knowledge be increased, starting in 1934. The same year that the last witness of the two witnesses was born, 1934. That's a phenomenal. You know only a fool would be able not to see it and believe. The churches are all preaching believe, you know, and they say if you keep the laws of righteousness, you're trying to earn your salvation. And so all you have to do is believe. And I said, so you believe and that's earning your salvation, huh? No. Well, why do I have to believe then? If Yahweh wants us to be righteous and that's earning our salvation, no. It's not earning your salvation. It's a requirement to be given the free gift of eternal life. That's what keeping Yahweh's laws, coming to unity with Yahweh is. But here in today's world, and these drugs, and this is on all the news, they just don't understand why that the people, so many people are dying of this. And the president, Barack Obama, made a point about this. He said it's killing more than all the traffic accidents in the United States. The people are killing themselves on drugs. Now this is their freedom. The freedom that they got, freedom from the law. The laws would show them and teach them what Proverbs said, a child left unattended or untrained, untaught, is an embarrassment to their parent. They'll kill themselves. They make themselves so sick, starting out even. If they're not taught, they'll be eating things that are unhealthy. They'll be committing acts that will come later in life, drawn by lust, that are unhealthy, and plant things in their body that will kill them at early ages. I had a brother-in-law, 34 years old, that he was a coach, right at the prime of his life, 34 years old, a coach in a famous school and teaching these young boys football or basketball or something. Went jogging down the street to the school and fell dead before he got to the school. Yes, that's today's world. If he hadn't have done that, he'd have probably killed himself on heroin. Well, you know, surely anyone with 1% of his brain or less, maybe 1/100th of the use, 1/100th of 1% maybe, could figure that one out and see that this world of freedom, it's not freedom. It's getting you hooked the same way they had the 12 tribes hooked in Egypt. And then they brought them out of Egypt, as I brought out in the last sermon. They brought them out of Egypt and they got to lusting after the things they gave up in Egypt that would have straightened their lives out completely. They gave it up and wanted to go back to fulfilling those lusts again and going into power and ruling over people. And, of course, that's why the world is in such a mess today. Yahweh said, you want this? You chose this? It's your choice. Now I'm going to let you live with it. For this 6,000-year plan, it won't be completed till the last witness speaks. And of course, I'm speaking now. Well, in Matthew 24, verse 7, he shows you the sickness and disease epidemic. He shows you in verse 12 the reason for it, because iniquity, doing away with the law. This is the Savior speaking, because doing away with the law, love grows cold. There is no love. Man will be lovers of themselves in this time period, the apostle said. Yeshua shows that this is going to be the worst time of trouble ever in verse 22 and 23. In Revelations 6, 7, 8, and 9, it shows the quartet and their activities in and around the great river Euphrates. This is where it starts. After one-third of men is killed, they still won't repent. Won't repent. Repentance is not in their vocabulary. None in the Catholic Church. And the Pope right now is sending out a survey to see how many people he can get now on his side to have this just war, what he calls a just war, to wipe out 4/5 of the earth's population. And that's exactly what the scripture shows is going to take place. In this generation of the nuclear bomb shown in verse 29, this generation, verse 33 and 34, will not pass away till you see all these things fulfilled. It will not pass away till you see all these things fulfilled. That's some of the things you should believe, but of course the Christian and Catholic Church don't want you to believe these things. This news today is showing what a confused mess that we're in. And of course, the Savior in the Matthew 24 that we just read is showing you exactly what it would be in this generation. How did he know this? He was saying these words in 33 AY. How did he know in this time period when he would have a man shown in verse 14, teaching this message to the world? How could he possibly have known this? Try to figure that out, dummy. You who don't want to believe, try to figure that one out. Pentecost is on June 12. I don't want you to forget this. I think what we should do on the calendar is maybe have it count 50, yes. But then put the 50, you know, at the start of the count. And this way it'd show us how many days we have left to Pentecost. Count backwards, as the Kohan brought out for this year. I think you have about 44 days left till Pentecost. So if we count that backwards, see, it will go down and you'll see and you'll be aware. But think now. June 11th is a Sabbath, so Pentecost is going to fall on the first day of the week, and that will be June 12th. So we're going to have two Sabbaths in a row here. I was so thankful to get this 10 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread this time instead of the regular seven. But I wanted to see complete unity. I almost saw it. Turn over to Psalms 133, and we were all talking about this feast. I have never seen anything like this, and of course when you see men working in unity this way, it's you won't find this in the world. They get together and plan a war, you know, and they can agree on that. They can't agree who splits the wealth after they sell the bombs. They can't agree on who gets the land, who gets the wealth off of that land that they took over. There's no agreement at all there. So the only thing they could agree on is what the Pope is asking them to agree on now, and that's war. And of course, that's what Nimrod said. Let us build ourselves a tower. How? By force. Force, just like we see today in the world. Then Samuel, he says to the leaders in Israel, I want to point out something here that you need to really understand. Samuel made the circuit in Israel. That one man, he made a circuit. And of course, he judged the hard cases. Now, that right there was not really keeping Yahweh's laws. And as Moshe was taught by the priest of Yahweh, he said, make you captains over tens, captains over 50s, captains over hundreds, and so forth. This is what you need, but he says, choose men who hate gifts, choose men who are totally righteous, who will not steal or murder or so forth, who will keep these Ten Commandments and keep and agree to keeping the 613 laws. Now, these make them captains. Now, this is what we're going to see in the New World. We're going to see the law that was set up by Moshe. There's no way you could go wrong there but you take one man, Samuel. And then, of course, like Eob, he was offering sacrifice for his children because he knew they were sinning. So was Samuel. He knew they were sinning. But he also knew that they had to make a choice. And each one had to choose. I'm so thankful that Yahweh says in this time period that the children are not going to forget my words. It's going to be a part of their mouth forever. Praise Yahweh. I'm depending on that. And Yahweh leading this thing. But you put together trying to run a city. If you see the news, you see what trouble the cities are in. Abilene right now is spread out, bringing more people in. There's over 750,000, 700,000 and 50,000, if it makes you understand it any better, behind in money. They're trying to figure out ways to get more money. And their taxes are, the taxes that they're supposed to have brought in, they were announcing that they're $600,000 short. Less than what they had last year to work with. And of course, they spent everything they had last year. If they had not spent everything they had last year, they couldn't get the government grants that come from Washington. They pay taxes, too, to Washington, tribute. This was the same system that was set up by Rome in the early days. And we see it in the scriptures. In fact, Yeshua even spoke of it in his parable concerning the kingdom of Yahweh. But the cities pay taxes to the government. The government in Washington issues them so much of their money back if they qualify for use. Now, if someone says, I want out of this union, they set them down and they say, here's the books. How are you going to pay this? How are you going to pay this back? Well, of course, they have no way of paying it back. So the government could actually take their land, and they could do nothing about it. So, like Rick Perry, they changed their mind, of course. No, I was just joking. I didn't really want out of this union. I was just bluffing. Well, of course, this government, the tribute, the Roman soldiers, when they found a village, they offered them protection if they would pay tribute. The same thugs in New York and Washington, they go to the places of business, and I'm sure you've seen movies on this. They say, we'll protect your business from people fighting in here and tearing it up or setting it on fire. We'll protect this for a small sum of money each month. Well, you dish out the money, or this same gang will come back later and start a fight in the building, tear up the chairs, break out the windows, tear up the whole place, a fight, a brawl, and leave. And, of course, the insurance company will maybe pay to have this put back and maybe not. Maybe they got a clause in there that we won't pay for brawls. You know, that's a crookedness of the insurance companies. They have their clauses where they won't have to pay anyone what they promised to pay. That is by word. You know, you have the written word. Speak of that of the scriptures now. Keep this in mind. Then you have the Pharisees' word that's not written. So they could change it and say, no, I didn't mean that. No, that wasn't what this rabbi meant when he said this. Well, what did he mean? Well, they'll interpret it to mean something else. So you have the written word that is written, and it's stationary. It's a foundation. It's written. It's put together. And it's binding. That's what we have in the Holy Scriptures that Yahweh gave to us. It stands. We can put our lives on this right here, what we have written in the book of Yahweh. Well, of course, the Catholic Church, the Vatican, they, on killing the prophets and apostles, they took these scriptures that they wrote. They didn't know that Yahweh was guarding those scriptures and that he was going to protect them no matter whose hands they were in. Well, they were the lawgivers, so Yahweh allowed them to, you know, remember Yada, Genesis 49, Yada is going to be holding the ruling scepter, the lawgiver, until his enemies are made to come and worship before his feet by Yahweh. Yahweh is going to do this. That's all in his plan. Yahweh will save his people from their sins. He's going to save his people. Who are his people? Those who chose to be his people and live, make themselves into Yahweh's likeness and in Yahweh's image, those are the ones that's going to be given authority. Yeshua backed that up and said, blessed are those that do his commandments because they have right to the tree of life. They're the only ones that have right to the tree of life. 1 John 3:7-8 says, if you break the laws, you don't belong to Yahweh. You belong to Satan, the devil. You belong to Satan, the devil. That's plain. It's written. It won't change. It's not a mistranslation. Revelation 22:14 is not a mistranslation. Matthew 24 is not a mistranslation. In this generation, it's going to be this generation of the nuclear bomb, of the increase in knowledge. Surely anyone can see we have an increase in knowledge starting in this generation. If not, go down here and see. Go down here and see it anyway. Look at the outdoor Johns. Now that you can't imagine, I know. But when I was a child, and up until the 50s now, I don't know of any after that, but I remember in the 50s, when I was in college, and not too far from where I went to college, Jacob and I would go to a town called Milan, Missouri. And we would hold Sabbath services there. And we baptized a lot of people. That we had outdoor Johns all over that town. As far as I know, there wasn't anything except well pumps and things like this. When I was in Purcell, Oklahoma, they had a hotel that was one of the 2 blocks long was the business, and the both sides of the street, but they had a hotel. They had this high tower built behind the hotel that went up above the hotel. They had ropes coming down from a pulley up there, and it came down to a well that was dug right behind the hotel. They had boys that they paid to go there and crank this thing, and they'd pull one bucket of water up at a time and dump it in a tank, and the hotel had running water. That was the running water in the hotel that you could actually bathe, and they had inside you could pour your water in your tub that only allow you so much. And then you could come down and they would give you a bucket of hot water that they heated on the stove, and you could carry it up to your room and pour it in the cold water and bathe. Well, that was in my lifetime now. All of that has changed. Surely you can see that's changed. The outdoor Johns was a thing that everyone lived with at that time and thought nothing about it. The schools, that's what they had. And they didn't have the convenience today. They only had one for men and one for girls. Oh, they still have that today. Oh, they're trying to advance. Oh, I forgot. Yeah. Yeah, they're going to make it for something else. But they had two, one for the men and one for the women. And everyone knew which one they're supposed to go to. And they're clear on the other side of the campground, the schoolyard. So there wasn't any mixing it up. Well, that's how much we have changed and since knowledge has increased. And if you go look at the plows that we pull with horses, we got the great Kohan Toby, Greenwich Hawkins. He's bought quite a bit of old equipment that was pulled by horses, and then he's got some old tractors down there, too, that show how they advanced from the horses to the tractor. The tractor would be about probably 40 or 45 horsepower. Before that, you would have to put 40 or 45 horses together, pulling in unison, to pull some of those big plows that they had that worked the big fields at that time. But all of this has taken place in my lifetime that Yeshua showed. Well, here in Psalms 133, if you didn't have your horses pulling in unison, you know, you had a mess on your hands, a big one. Well, here he says, "Behold how right, how righteous, and how pleasant." So righteousness goes with joy or being pleasant, a pleasant mood, everyone being in a pleasant mood, which I have seen a lot of at this feast. Rejoicing with one another, how righteous and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. In unity. You know, one person, just one person, getting out of unity, not willing to keep Yahweh's laws, not willing to do Yahweh's work, not willing to be a part of it, just getting out of line, it can cause an upset. If a person is assigned to put the coffee in the coffee pot, you're not going to have nothing but hot water, right? Just hot water only. When somebody is slack on their job, it hurts everything. If you have a thief, you know, I think I was 15 or 16, and Jacob had taken a job on a dairy. And I went to visit him, and the guy was told the foreman that he asked Jacob, whose name was J.G. at that time, he said, "Is this boy workable?" And, of course, J.G. said yes. And he said, "Is he like you?" And J.G. said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you don't steal." And he says, "That's very unusual. Is this boy like you?" Well, the guy said, the story was that he wanted to find people who didn't steal because he'd pay people to come in there and they'd steal his milk, they'd steal his cream, they'd steal his calves that his cows would have and go sell them, they'd steal his cows. And he said, this was very unusual to find a man that is old as J.G., and he wasn't a thief. He said, you just couldn't find them. Well, of course, J.G. assured him that I was not a thief, but I didn't stay there. I wanted other things, and I was trying to get to where I could get an education, and finally found it later. But you all of you know that. But look at the unity here in keeping Yahweh's laws of righteousness, and that's what this word means. The word right there, if you notice, as a little letter back and over to the left, you'll see the word righteousness or righteous. It is like a precious oil upon the head, which run down on the beard, the beard of Aaron, which ran down to the edge of his high priest garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, the dew which comes down upon the hills of Zion, where there Yahweh had commanded the blessing, this blessing of unity, actually commanded this blessing of unity. Let's go over to Ephesians 4 with this same subject in mind. Remember the parables of Yeshua as you read this, because Yeshua, of course, taught his disciples. And in this book to the Ephesians, you know, this was the apostle Shaul, who was a Roman soldier, that Yeshua met on the road to a slaughter that was about to take place. And Yeshua told him, "Don't do this anymore." And of course, he converted him, and he went to the apostles, and they taught him the difference in what the Pharisees taught and what the prophets of Yahweh taught, which is hard to understand even in today's world. Having to reach these people who are brought up on no law, on a lawless following your lust instead of following righteousness, and telling them what you're following is killing you. Not only that, it'll keep you from having eternal life given to you by Yahweh. You know, it's hard to convince them. Running a kingdom, running a city, even, in trying to get unity in the city, in the police, one department, like the police department, trying to keep unity in a police department, and all the policemen, you know, wanting to go their own way, some wanting to kill, some wanting not to kill, some wanting not to wear guns. There's no unity in the police departments. There's no unity in City Hall. You can hire the best high-priced city manager there is, he has trouble. He goes before the board of directors and say, "I'm having this problem, you know, and this is the way I'd like to deal with it." Then they have to approve what he wants to do, and most of the time they just point out the drawbacks and say, "This is not going to work. There's no answer to this problem." It's like the problems they're having in the schools in the city. The schools. They have the bullying going on. They have the heroin being used, the marijuana being used. Well, finally they say, "Well, the problem seems to be that we're fighting the use of marijuana and it's not working. Why don't we just make it legal?" So now they're saying, "How are we going to solve this problem? Because the people who are on this marijuana, it leads to other things. It leads to suicides. It leads to killing yourself with heroin. Yes, we got a big problem here that we've created. Now, what are we going to do about it?" Well, there is no answers to them. There is no answers. The only answer would be is to go back again or repent. Repent. Everyone repent. Stop what you're doing. Then start a perfect life that would not allow marijuana or these harmful drugs that kill, or all these other things that are going on, like rape and bullying. It would teach them a different way. A child left unattended would no longer be a child left unattended. It would be a child taught the way of Yahweh. This is the only way. Well, of course, that's what we're doing now. But Yahshua, in his parables, he showed how the kingdom of Yahweh would have workers. And he'd say to one, do this, another, do this, another, do this. They'd also have dividends. They would have merits and demerits. He showed all of this in the scriptures and showed how that the kingdom, in building the kingdom of Yahweh, and then the man leaving the far country and going to, or leaving for a far country, and leaving his dairy, his chicken house, his fields of produce, his vineyards, into the hands of certain people. Well, of course, if you can't trust those people, Yahweh's not going to trust them in his kingdom. So he's finding out who he can trust and who he can't trust. And this was the parables that Yahshua gave. Here's a person one day that he's for righteousness. The next day, he's lending his ear to someone who is running down righteousness. So he's like a ship, as Yahshua himself said, a ship that's been tossed about by the waves in the ocean. Dwelling in unity is the only way you will have peace, the only way that it's pleasant among people, in unity. Yahweh's laws. Now, if you take Yahweh's laws only and you practice those, you will have unity. If you add to them, he says, it diminishes from their strength. Yahweh's laws is his strength. That's what I brought out from Malachi 4. That's the strength of Yahweh. And Yahshua said, if you will accept this, this is the laws of Yahweh, the Eliyah, which means the laws of Yahweh, which will come in the last days by the last days witnesses. That's the strength that's going to be taught. And Yahshua told them, it's going to be, and if you will accept it, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be taught in the generation, in this generation, and gives you the generation. Well, here now in Ephesians 4, and look at verse 3, he says, endeavoring with utmost diligence and zeal. That's what he says in Deuteronomy 6. You know, diligently teach these laws to your children. That's what these books are for, is to help you. That's what the program is for. By the way, the Israel Says program now, it now has the book of Yahweh with B-Y and A-Y in it. This thing is going to start spreading like wildfire. You watch what I mean. The endeavoring to teach this, to keep the unity of the Spirit, of the Spirit. Turn back to Yochanan 6:63. Don't follow Casper the ghost here, but look with this Spirit that he's talking about here, with unity of the Spirit, he's talking about the same thing that is spoken of here in Yochanan 6:63. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The flesh is useless, and that's what people serve today, is the flesh, the pulls of the flesh, which was actually made to test mankind, because you've got to choose, but you've got to choose by your rational mind that Yahweh gives you. You've got to choose by your mind which one you're going to follow. This way that leads to death, which stealing, fornication, adultery, your tongue that you use to speak kindness with, can also get you burned if you don't govern the use of it. So the flesh is what we yield to. Whereas Yahweh is saying, take my word, my laws, above your lust, above your desires, above your lust, above everything. He says, see, Yahshua said, seek the kingdom of Yahweh and His righteousness first. First, above everything. Above anything and everything you have. I remember when I was trying to get the high school course finished, and I was wanting to go to college, and I was striving to get this thing finished because Jacob was wanting to go the very next year, and so I had a year to get ready. And I was paying, at that time rent was pretty cheap. I was paying like $42 a month for rent, and that $42 a month was hurting me. I didn't want to pay it. I had a travel trailer. It didn't have any screens on it, but it was a travel trailer. I talked the guy into letting me park it by his pond in Graham, Texas, and I moved into that. Didn't cost me anything. The mosquitoes was tried to carry me off. By the way, you don't have to worry about the Zika virus now. I've got all the mosquitoes in my car and got them locked up. I jumped out and shut the door right quick this morning. It was filled up in just a little while. And the wind's going to blow them away today. 30 miles an hour wind. That'll take care of some of it. We're going to have to keep that going. But anyway, I could have lived in that apartment, you know, and paid the $42 a month, but it came out of my, I had to work more time in public to pay the rent and so forth, and I was wanting to cut back on the work. I was selling Bibles, the Hertel Blue Ribbon Bible at that time, and so I wanted to cut back on working but 2 days a week and study the rest. And that's what I did, and finally, and I did. I finished it in less than a year. But here he says, this spirit right here, this is the spirit he wants in you. That spirit is the strength of Yahweh that actually works on the heart and mind, as Malachiah said. Malachiah says it actually turns the heart. The psalm says it converts the whole person. Well, that's the spirit that Yahweh wants in you. And this is what the Apostle Shaul is speaking about in Ephesians. It is the spirit that gives life. This spirit, well, what is he talking about, this spirit? It's not Casper like Christianity thinks. No, it's, notice, the flesh is useless. The laws that I speak, I think the King James Version says words, but if you look it up, it comes from the Hebrew word dabar and means laws. The laws that I speak to you, they are spirit. They're spirit that changes the heart and the mind. From the fathers, it actually turns the father to loving the son, and the heart of the son to loving the fathers. Yes, that's the strength that it has. The laws of Yahweh, you can't beat them. There's no way you can. They're perfect, absolutely perfect. And they are life. They are life everlasting. Do you see that, everyone? Do you believe? They are life. The laws of Yahweh are the spirit that churns the hearts of the fathers to the son and the hearts of the sons to the children. And the Apostle Shaul started preaching these written laws. They're written. They won't change. They're written. He's not going to rewrite them. He said the beast is going to. He's going to change it. Yada, who's carrying the staff of lawgiver, not for Yahweh's people. He has no power over Yahweh's people, nor does the demons that the Catholic Church is enlisting now into their work. Yes, gobs of them. And the so-called exorcist is going to, instead of getting rid of them, they're going to use them big time. You're going to see miracles galore. Yes, Yeshua warns you of that. You better believe the scriptures, brethren. You better latch on to these scriptures and don't let anything change you, because these scriptures are going to, there's life in them, but there is no life without them. the written word of Yahweh. And Yahshua says, you're a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, back to Ephesians 4, verse 3, endeavoring with utmost diligence and zeal, that's what the Hebrew word shows there, to keep the unity of the laws of Yahweh that's taught in the laws of Yahweh. Love your neighbor. Don't have vengeance against your neighbor. Don't retaliate against anything. Love Yahweh with all your heart. That's the greatest commandment. The second one, Yahshua, is like that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't do anything that to your neighbor that you would not want him to do to you. That's love. Yeah. And that's the spirit you get from this law right here. The spirit. Verse 13. Until we all come, keeping these laws, practicing, as apostle Yochanan in First Yochanan 3:1-10, he uses the word practice there. Practices keeping the laws of Yahweh. If you practice keeping the Sabbath, you may not be doing it totally right, but you're practicing it, and Yahweh shows you are righteous. Yes. Took us a long time to get to this point right here where we finally kept the Sabbath right. and I see that. I see work has to be done. It's not like what the way they translated it in the King James Version, do no work. That's impossible not to work. When you breathe, it's working your body. When your heart beats, you want your heart to stop and your lungs to stop? This is crazy. There's no way you can do it. And if you study, you'll find out, yes, food is allowed to be fixed. Yes, service, serving of food, working to take care of the sick, and so forth. And Yahshua did it right, and that's what Hebrews 4 said. Yahshua did it according to the law. He taught us the Sabbath of rest according to the law, the written law, not the Talmud, which was so-called oral laws that one rabbi said this, another one said this, another one said this. You flip a coin, draw straws to make up your mind. Well, you don't have unity then. One is saying, well, you've got to lay in bed all day. You can't let any of your bodily functions work. Well, that's as stupid as the rest of it. But the written word of the prophets who they persecuted, who all agreed, they were all in unity, along with the apostles who and the Savior, who were also in unity, they wrote this book of Yahweh. And Yahweh guarded it and brought it back in the time of the last witness who had to have it. But it wasn't brought back before. Check me out. All you got to do is look up Yisrael Says. It takes about 20 seconds or less. 44 seconds, I believe, or less. 44. Remember that 44. Somebody brought that out. 44 on the 44. Takes about 44 seconds on the 44 to look this up in the Yisrael Says. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. Work? Work? Man, don't mention work to me. That's too hard. Joy. Joy. Get joy out of your work. Yeah, I used to sling a sledgehammer. That's easier than... That was easy. That was the easy job. I could work in the broom cornfield all day long in the hot sun. Fast. I was fast at it. I could cut the heads of broom corn just like that, like a machine. I was that great at it. Didn't put anything in my mind. but cutting that fruit core, that's all. But I did my studies of a night. I didn't pass up on that. Well, work for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building of the what? You see that? Church of Christ? B.C. and A.D.? No, for the house of Yahweh, which name they took out and put house of the Lord. Yes, they took it out. The Vatican took it out, changed it, replaced it, and caused the people to forget the name Yahweh for Lord, as the prophet Jeremiah said when he was alive. Jeremiah 23, 25, and 26. Which is the body of Messiah. That's your body of Messiah. The body of Messiah, if you look back up there, verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, yes, one law. for the Greeks who are Hebrews, another joke. No, the Greeks, they were from Pluto, and the Germans, they was from who knows where, and some planet up there. I'm sure they came over the hill. That's what it was. Totally a different set of beings. Came from the wolves. The wolves raised them. Let's see, verse 4. There is one body, one spirit, just as you are called in one hope and one calling. No, you won't find it all split up now, here and there. Some in the Baptist, some in the Methodist, some in the Church of Christ, and so forth. There's one Father. Where do I want to go here? 13. Till you all come to unity in this righteousness. Look at verse 11. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some preachers of the message. You're going to hear a bunch of those preachers of the message here this evening at 4 p.m. You'll sit there in awe. you will when you hear what's going on at 4 o'clock this evening, 4 p.m. Don't miss it. Preachers of the message of the kingdom of Yahweh. Not the kingdom of Satan now. The kingdom of Satan is breaking the laws of Yahweh, refusing to keep the Sabbath, refusing to take the shadow upon them that's going to protect them. I'd like to get that part in before I quit. Let's go to Psalms 91 quickly, because the Colossians 2 now shows you the shadow of Yahweh and says, don't let man take you out of it. You can do that in many ways. You can go to the fallaways, and they'll tell you just exactly how to do it. And some have. You need to repent of it, and you need to promise Yahweh in no uncertain terms that you won't do it anymore. That's repentance and conversion. Don't just repent, but convert. This is a shadow, and if you don't do it to Yahweh, you're not doing it. And you won't do it in a fallaway's house. And you're warned against it by the apostles, by Yahshua himself, yes, and by the prophets. In Psalms 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow. Now that's shown in Colossians 2:16 through 19, saying you can let man take this away from you. Colossians is warning you, don't let mankind take this away from you. Don't let them deceive you. Be not deceived. No Sodomites are going to be in the kingdom. That was the Apostle Paul speaking to. The Apostle Shaul. That's in 1 Corinthians 6 or 2 Corinthians 6, verse 9. No Sodomites, no fornicators, no adulterers, no whoremongers. None of those are going to be in Yahweh's kingdom or under his shadow. The shadow of the Almighty. We say to Yahweh, you are our refuge and our fortress. If you stop to think about it, brethren, there is no safe place on earth right now. You could be anywhere and get killed. Unless Yahweh protects you, there's no assurance. there is assurance with Yahweh. You are our Father. In you we will trust. You're the only one we can trust. You're the only one. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome deadly pestilence, that's disease epidemics. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will trust. You will trust. His truth will be your shield and your buckler. That's what the truth, that your laws are truth, the Psalms 119 said. You will not be afraid of the terror of night, nor of the arrows that fly in daytime, nor of the pestilence, that's the disease epidemics that walk in darkness, nor of the destruction, that the waste at noonday that we see all over the world now, the shootings that are happening, you know, several times a day, but you don't get it on the local news. You know, they're trying to cover this. I remember when I was on the police department, and one of the big colleges, I remember one woman that lived within about a block and a half of the college that got raped and killed, but it never came out in the papers. And I was wondering why, but they cover it all the time. They don't want to expose these colleges for the evil that's going on both inside and outside of that college. They're wanting that kept quiet and make the people think, oh, it's peaceful and calm and everybody's getting a wonderful education, going to go out, make $1 million and live happily ever after and ride their white horse off into the sunset and so forth. Nor of the pestilence that walk in darkness, the destruction that waste at noonday. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Only with your eyes you will look upon this and see it. Well, now that means that something is going to have to take place to show you this. Because if you're just sitting without a television set, when was the television set invented? In my lifetime. In the 40s. In the 40s, the television set that you now can see the news and see this taking place as we did today on the monitor right here in the house of Yahweh. So this is something that was spoken of for this generation. You're going to see thousands fall. And we're seeing it right now as the wars in and around the great river Euphrates. Because you have made Yahweh your refuge, you in the house of Yahweh, made the Most High your house, the house of Yahweh, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your dwelling. Well, that's a great promise to Yahweh's people. The sincerity that you put in this. Of course, Yahweh knows the heart. And remember this, Yahweh knows the heart. There's nothing gets by him, as Yahshua showed in his instructions to the apostles. Nothing gets by him. He knows everything about you, everything you do, what's in your heart, what you're thinking, how many hairs is on your head, and so forth. So he knows, and you're being judged and sentenced by those things that's in your heart that come forth from the tongue, come forth from your mouth, and come forth from your actions. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!